Okay, good morning, everyone. It is, as Mr. Shulman mentioned, an incredible zechus to be able to be here and to learn with all of you. And it's also a zechus to be able to dedicate this learning, Le'ilui Nishmas Chavi Klein Chava Bas Yitzchak Mordechai. I think all of us, I'm sure many of you knew Chavi as a friend. I had the incredible zechus to be able to learn with her over the years and to be able to see her Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. Literally a willingness to go ahead and defy physical odds to be able to come and learn was something that was incredibly inspirational and very meaningful each and every year that she was privileged to be with us. So we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama of Chava Zichron Leracha Bas Yitzchak Mordechai should have an aliyah, should have a licht to Gan Eden, and Emir Hashem in the coming months and years, her family should experience a nechama. And with that, let us begin. So I'd like to give a little bit of every semester, try to give a little bit of an introduction. This is a little bit of a different introduction. You know, Baruch Hashem, we've been doing Sefer Tehillim for a number of years already. And we actually find ourselves, we're up to Kapitel Samech Ches, chapter 68 in Sefer Tehillim. But I want to tell you something interesting that occurred. Unfortunately, over the last 2 weeks, I had a couple of levayas that I had to perform. And as often as the minhag in Klal Yisrael is that one of the kapitlach that we read by a levaya is Kapitel Aleph, chapter 1 in Psalms. Now, the truth is, we did chapter 1 in Psalms, I don't know how many years ago we started this year, but we definitely began from the beginning. And as I had to read this kapitel over the course of the last couple of weeks a few times, it struck me a little bit. So what I'd like to be able to do, if it's okay, is for this week, and maybe even for next week, and possibly a third week, just focus a little bit on Kapitel Aleph, and then Emir HaShem use it as a little bit of a runway for the rest of our semester. So if you look on your sheet, again, Kapitel Aleph, Tehillim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Ashrei Ish, and I guess I'll just say one more word of introduction for those who may be joining us for the first time. The power of Sefer Tehillim lies in the profundity of the words. I always give the same hakdama, the same introduction, which is the Navi identifies David HaMelech, the author of Sefer Tehillim, as Admoni, a ruddy or reddish complexion, v'yefeh einayim, and beautiful eyes. And as I've mentioned many times, so it's interesting to note that description is not usually given to men. Usually men in Tanakh are not described by their eyes. That eyes, beautiful eyes, are a feminine quality. And in fact, the first time we find a woman identified or described by her eyes is none other than David HaMelech's great, 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 great grandmother, Leah Imenu. And the Torah tells us that Eini Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah were soft. And whereas most of us are accustomed to the interpretation of Rashi, that Leah's eyes were soft because she was always crying. In other words, according to Rashi, excuse me, the softness of Leah Imenu's eyes was actually not reflective of her physical beauty. In fact, as Rashi points out, Leah Imenu was crying because often it was said that she was going to marry Esav. But besides Rashi, all of the other Mefarshim understand that Eine Leah Rakas, the softness of Leah Imenu's eyes, is actually reflective of her inner beauty. In fact, Ibn Ezra really highlights this idea of the eyes are the window to the soul. That whereas Rachel Imenu was spectacularly beautiful, Leah was also spectacularly beautiful, but Leah actually had a trait that her sister did not have. Leah had the most exquisite eyes. And those exquisite eyes highlighted an inner depth and an inner profundity that made her unique amongst women. Fast forward a number of generations, and the Navi Dylan describing David HaMelech describes him with beautiful eyes, the same traits as his alter baba, as his great-great-grandmother, highlighting the same idea, that David HaMelech possessed an inner strength, an inner holiness, an inner beauty that you really had to look beneath the surface to be able to see. And that's Sefer Tehillim. You know, I think for most of us, especially again before we started learning this year over the last couple of years, I I think most of us in our relationship to Tehillim is something that we said. I would say Tehillim, I would daven Tehillim, but for many of us, and I think this is the intriguing part of Tehillim, if you would try to translate a pasuk in Tehillim or have tried to translate a verse here, a verse, Tehillim is often very difficult to translate. Tehillim is poetry. Poetry often doesn't translate well because so much of it is in the word choices, in the flow. And I think many of us have said Tehillim for years with absolutely no understanding, meaning comprehension of what we're saying. And that's okay. Because part of the beauty of Tehillim is the ability for your neshama to connect with the words, even if your mind cannot translate them. But I think as we begin to learn through Tehillim, we begin to see that there's a power and a beauty to the spoken word. But in every word of David HaMelech's Tehillim, there's a deeper layer of profundity as well. And what we try to do over the course of this shiur is really try to appreciate the deeper meaning, the inner holiness, the powerful profundity of every chapter of David HaMelech's Tehillim. So with that, I want to go back now to Perek Aleph. So number one on your sheet, Ashrei HaIsh, Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rishoyim, praiseworthy is the person. And again, this is something I think that we are, many of us are familiar with. Praiseworthy is the person who has not followed the counsel of the wicked. So literally translated, we're going to be a little bit literal today. Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rishoyim literally means who did not walk with the advice of the wicked, ubederachatoim lo amad, neither did he stand in the way of sinners, ubemoshav leitzim lo yashav, nor did he sit in the company of scorners. Rather, kiim betoras Hashem cheftzo, ubesoroso yehege yomam valayla. But his desire is in the laws, is in the Torah of Hashem, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. So I want to draw your attention really to this opening phrase, because I was very drawn by this idea. David HaMelech again says, Asher, praiseworthy is the person. And what's the theme that David HaMelech is trying to convey? In other words, what's the message? Praiseworthy is the person who does not follow in wicked ways. That's the essence. Praiseworthy is the person who doesn't follow in wicked ways. Now, I'll draw your attention to something fascinating. So if you notice again, David HaMelech does something intriguing in the way he sets this up. The theme of the kapitel is Ashrei HaIsh. Praiseworthy is the person. What do I need to do in life in order to live an Ashrei existence? Right? Don't we struggle with this all of the time? All of us want more meaning in life. We all want more meaning in our existence. And the million-dollar question becomes, how do I find meaning in my life? So David HaMelech says, Ashrei HaIsh, praiseworthy is the person. Meaningful is the life. So David HaMelech is telling us already in the opening two words of this kapitel. This kapitel is important because in this kapitel is the secret to successful living. In this kapitel is everything you need to know in order to lead and to live a truly meaningful life. So it's interesting to note that when King David begins this conversation, he doesn't begin with the positive things. In other words, if I was writing this kapitel, I would have put Pasuk Beis, verse 2, before verse 1. How do you live a praiseworthy life? Kiyem b'taras Hashem cheftzo, someone who desires Torah, ubesoroso yehege yomam balayla, and one who learns Torah, meditates in Torah day and night. Now, by the way, you understand that when David HaMelech speaks about, quote-unquote, meditating in Torah day and night, he's not referring to necessarily just actively learning Torah. Remember again, first of all, no one learns Torah all day and all night. That's number one. And what about, again, for people who don't learn most of the day? Most of the Jewish people don't sit and learn Torah all day, right? We have occupations, we have professions, we're out, we're about. So David HaMelech is not just simply referring to learning Torah. He's referring to living Torah. To living Torah. That he says, Ki im betoras Hashem cheftzo. A person desires Torah. A person desires holiness. A person desires a relationship with Hashem. Ubisoroso yehege yomam v'alayla means, I am steeped and embedded in a lifestyle of Torah day and night. That's my goal. I would have put that first. That to me is number one. How do you live an Ashrei life? How do you live a praiseworthy life? How do you lead a meaningful life? Well, it's simple. It sounds simple. It's not so simple. You have to live a life steeped in Torah. What does it mean to live a life steeped in Torah? That means different things for different people. For the great Talmud Chacham, it might actually mean spending his days within the Beis Medrash, Imam Shoyin Torah. For someone like me, it might mean, again, I have a job. Again, don't have that privilege. So it might mean, again, I have to make a Kiddush Hashem. I have to try to sanctify the name of God when I go into the world. For someone else, it might be being honest in business. For someone else, it might be ultimately being present for their family to ultimately raise their children who are struggling. Whatever it might be, being steeped in a lifestyle of Torah means different things for different people. But I would have thought that David HaMelech would have started with that positive direction. But King David doesn't do that. Instead, King David says, what's the first step in leading an Ashrei life? Asher lo halach ba'atzas reshoim, don't walk in the counsel of wicked people. B'derech hatem lo armog, don't stand in the pathways of sinners. U'b'moshav leitzim lo yoshav, and do not sit in the company of lazy people, leitzim, or scorners. Scorners. So it's interesting that David HaMelech puts, like, the things you shouldn't do before he puts the things that you should do. So in other words, the cease and desist. Don't, if you want to live an Ashrei life, the first step is, don't do these things. Don't do these things. And then afterwards, David HaMelech says, and you should do these things. So don't go ahead and walk in the ways of sinners. Don't go ahead and sit in the company of the wicked. And stand with the wicked. And don't sit with scorners. And by the way, then after that, live a dynamic, active life steeped in the values of Torah. So here, King David, lesson number one. Is King David really borrowing his own words that appear later on in Sefer Tehillim? Sur Meira, I'm sorry. Sur Meira v'aseh tov. Literally, go ahead, avoid evils, turn away from evil, and do good. So here King David teaches us an incredible lesson. The pathway to spiritual growth, and the path of spiritual growth, a person must first identify the negative, harmful influences and remove those. Because if I am living with harmful influences, it's very difficult to get life traction. And the truth is, this is probably the hardest part in spiritual growth for most of us. Because when I think about spiritual growth, I'm sure we're all kind of in the same boat. I think about things I can do. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to dive in this. I'm going to take this on. I'm going to be better in this. Because the truth is, taking stuff on and doing things is exciting. It's fun. It's dynamic. It has that new spirituality smell. You know, it's exciting to take on something new. It's exciting to feel like I'm growing. But what don't I want to do? I don't want to address the stuff that is broken. I really don't want to do that, because the truth is, very often, that is difficult. It's sometimes exceptionally painful, and it's very hard. And the truth is, it takes a long time. To address the stuff that's broken in life, I don't see instantaneous change. So interestingly enough, more often than not, when we approach change, we approach change from what we'll call the pasuk-based perspective. Ki im b'taras Hashem chifzo, u'b'sora soya yegeh yomam v'layla. Bring it on, right? I'll take, I'll learn, I'll do, chesed, this, that. Incredible. Change. It's all about positive dynamic activity. But then something very interesting happens, which is, I relapse. Happens to all of us. And by the way, for many of us, it's happening right about now. Right? Right about now is prime relapse season. What do I mean by that? It's after Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. After Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, it's a couple of weeks still until Hanukkah time. I'm settling back into my new routines. And I'll just say on a personal level, this just happened to me yesterday. There was something I was trying to work on. And mamish, like, I went ahead, and this was a focus of my personal avoda over the Yamim Noraim. Something that was broken that I really wanted to address. And just yesterday, I suffered a relapse in this particular area. I was like, what's going on over here? I'm not even like 2 weeks out of Hoshana Rabbah, out of Sukkot, or maybe 2 weeks, right? Just a couple of weeks out of Yomim Noraim. And if I'm honest with myself, it's because over the course of Yomim Noraim, I didn't really work hard enough to address the things that are broken. So what I did is I took on a lot of stuff, because taking on stuff is fun. It's exciting. It's dynamic. I feel good. You know, when you take on things in your Ruchnias, it's an instant high. An instant high. It's instant spiritual gratification. You take on a learning project, gishmak. You go ahead and you take on chesed, I saved the world. Or if I didn't save the world, I helped someone else. It's instant spiritual gratification. The problem just is, if I don't fix the stuff that's broken, I relapse. And that, I think, again, you're all much more righteous than I am. So hopefully you have a few more weeks on your spiritual high. But me, I'm suffering from this relapse right about now. I'm not right back where I was, hopefully, but feeling like I'm headed back there. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. Because if you don't identify and fix the things that are broken, you can't get good life traction. And I think for many of us, this is one of the most difficult lessons to swallow. Because again, I'm all about Torah, all about learning, all about doing, all about taking on extra mitzvahs, extra tefillahs, extra tehillim, extra this, you know. But if you want me to fix the stuff that's broken, I'll sign up for another tehillim group, right? Or I'll do some extra mitzvahs, or I'll give some extra tzedakah. Anything, but having to address the stuff that is broken. The stuff that's broken. You know, there's an incredible organization called Amudim. I'm sure many of you are familiar with them. And Amudim is an organization that helps people in various levels of distress, whether it's because, God forbid, of substance abuse or different types of situations. So they have an incredible video on their website. It's a heartbreaking video about sexual abuse within a family. And the entire video is about parents ignoring the signs of what it is that's happening in their family. They're just not attentive to it. And whenever something happens, there's an image of the mother sweeping the floor. And she keeps sweeping the dirt underneath the rug in the dining room. It's a rug that sits underneath the dining room table. And she sweeps, and she sweeps, and she sweeps. And soon the mound under the carpet gets so big. And the table begins to tilt, so that when people are eating at the table, everything slides off the table. But the amazing part is, no one looks what's under the rug. No one looks. And it's such an incredible metaphor for life, for much less severe situations than the one being described in that video. Such an incredible metaphor for life. I know this stuff is broken, but I put it under the rug. Now, the rug, my rug by now, is 15 feet tall. It's 15 feet tall. I have to walk around it. I actually have to go out of my house, come out the other room, because I can't even get around it. But I'd rather do anything than go ahead and lift up the rug. I'd rather do anything than look at the schmutz that's accumulating, than look at what's broken. That's what David HaMelech is saying is, Ashrei Ish, you want to lead a good life? You want to lead an Ashrei life, a meaningful existence? The first step in an Ashrei life is not about the things you're going to do. It's about the things you're going to fix. The first step in an Ashrei life is not about the things you're going to take on. So not about the dynamic activities and the mitzvahs of the chesed projects. The first step in an Ashrei life is, do I have the courage to look at what is broken and figure out a way to fix it? That's piece one. And again, I just want to point out, this struck me because the profundity of Sefer Tehillim is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, right? Even if you don't learn the rest of Sefer Tehillim, but you just learn these two psukim, David HaMelech says, anything you need to know to be successful in life is right here, is right here. Step one, find the courage to fix that which is broken. And then after you find the courage to fix that which is broken, then you could go on to the dynamic activities of life, the dynamic spiritual activities. You know, the problem is, if you try to go on to the dynamic physical activities, spiritual activities, before you fix that which is broken, so Chazal have a term for this. We've spoken about this many times. What's the term? that, you know, I realize, I say often, we've spoken about this many times, because I've realized that throughout our years of Tehillim, we've pretty much covered every single theme. But that's because there are only a few central themes in life to successful living. There are just many different illustrations of those core central themes. You know, I had someone who came over to me the other week and said, you know, Rabbi Silber, you always speak about the same themes in your drushas. I said, you're right. I said, because the truth is, there's not like 100 different lessons to be successful in life. There's about 5 of them. There's about 5 core central lessons in life to be successful. And all of life is just about illustrating and packaging those themes differently. That's why people think the Torah is repetitive. The Rebbe Shalom is not repetitive. The Rebbe Shalom teaches us there are just a number of core lessons in life. You know, there was an advertisement. There is this televangelist. His name is Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen. He is I think he has like the biggest mega church in America. So they're doing some type of promotional thing now where he's giving away, you know, like the Amazon puts out and Google puts out, Google Nest, Amazon, I think it's called Echo. You know, it's like these little things that you could voice. It activates the voice command. So Joel Osteen is giving away, for people who, I guess, sign up for a stretch, I guess if you join the church, you become a member. So you get one of these Amazon Echoes or Amazon Dots or Google Nest, and it's filled with 400 inspirational drushes from Joel Osteen. I thought to myself, 400 separate independent drushes? Then I realized they have a lot more books than we do. So maybe that's it. Maybe there's a lot more books. There's a lot. Said there aren't 400. You could give 400 divrei Torah. You could give 400 drushes. But I guarantee you, 400 divrei Torah, 400 drushes could be distilled to 4, 5, 6, 7 central core themes. Because to be successful in life doesn't require you to assimilate 400 messages. To be successful in life, to live an ashrei life, requires you just to assimilate very few number of messages. 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe a million of messages. I don't even know if that is that much. And if you could assimilate, then you're successful in life. So the first two are right here. Step number one to ashrei life, find the courage to fix that which is broken. And then if you do that, then ki im besoras Hashem cheftzo besorasa yigim avalayla, then your positive, dynamic spiritual activity will be meaningful and productive. But I want to spend a moment. What I was intrigued by in this particular capital was the notion of David HaMelech illustrate, the way he illustrates the first concept. So the first concept is, David HaMelech is saying is, don't go down a bad path in life. And if you've gone down a bad path, then go ahead and fix it. But David HaMelech illustrates this going down a bad path in life in 3 different ways. Halach ba'atzas rishayim, walking in the ways, right, or in the counsel of the wicked. B'derech ha'toim lo amad, standing in the way of sinners. Moshav ileitzim lo yashav, and sitting with scorners. Right, skidding with scorners. So the Radak actually says in number 2, he says, "Hinei b'shlosha elu, kol techuno sa'adam, aholech o omed o yoshev." So the Radak said, David HaMelech writes essentially that in this capital he's speaking about like the 3 different positions that man could assume. A person is either walking, standing, or sitting. But the question is obvious, which is why does David HaMelech have to illustrate this concept? I understand the concept. The concept is, don't go down the wrong path in life. And if you go and you go down the wrong path, make sure you find the courage to correct that which is broken. But why do you have to illustrate this, David HaMelech, with walking, standing, sitting. So the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah says something amazing. He says, Darash Hashem Ben Pazi, number 2, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Hashem Ben Pazi Dashin, he quoted this pasuk, Ashriya ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rishoim, ubiderech ha'toim lo amad. Praiseworthy is the person who didn't go in the counsel of the wicked, didn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, didn't stand in the pathway of sinners, and did not sit with scorners or with mockers. V'chi me'acher shelo halach heichan amad. If he never walks, how could he stand? O me'acher shelo amad heichan yashav. And if he never stood, how could he sit? Me'acher shelo yashav heichan latz. And if he never sat, then how could he scoff? Elalomar lecha, shim halach sofer lamad. Rather, it's teaching us that if you walk, you will eventually sit. Ve'im amad, excuse me, if you walk, you will eventually stand. Ve'im amad, and if you eventually stand, sofo leishev, you will eventually sit. Ve'im yashav, sofo lalutz. And if you sit, you will eventually scoff. What does this mean? The Gemara is teaching us something incredibly amazing. David HaMelech is teaching us about a progression in life. You see, sin, and we'll call it detrimental activity, never usually starts with something sinister, heinous, or egregious. Instead, the way life often unfolds is the pathway to sin is often paved with relatively innocuous actions. Relatively innocuous actions. And you can think about this, by the way. If you think about any Aveira that you've ever committed, I'm not saying about anyone here. Maybe you have a friend who committed an Aveira. So if you go ahead and you ask your friend, tell me about an Aveira you did, and something amazing happens. Rarely do people just begin sinning. Instead, usually, Rabbi Soloveitchik calls this derech chotim. There is a pathway to sin. And the pathway to sin usually begins with something that could be relatively innocuous. But then what happens? So you take one step, another step, another step, another step, and then a few steps removed, suddenly at this point, now I'm in the midst of sin. So says the Gemara something amazing. King David is teaching us an incredible lesson. That the pathway to sin doesn't just occur. But how does it occur? The first step is halach ba'atzas u'shoim. The first step in sin is you begin to walk a little bit of a different path. You begin to walk a little bit. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I would just like to see kind of what this other path is. And then what happens? You get on that path and you spend some time on that path. That's amad. Abba needs standing in place. So first I just walk on the path. Then I go ahead and I stand on the path. And then what happens when you spend enough time standing on the path? Yashav. You sit. Now, what's the difference between sitting versus standing and walking? So walking, obviously, I'm mobile. Even standing, when a person is standing, they are still easily mobile. Even though now I'm not moving, I'm easily mobile. I could just go ahead and take another step. But once you sit, what is sitting? Sitting is immobility. Sitting is, now I'm sitting in place, I am immobile. And by the way, what happens to matter? To matter, when it comes to rest, when it comes to a state of rest, what happens? It remains at rest. Matter remains at rest until it is acted upon. So David HaMelech says, be careful with the decisions you make in life. Do you know what successful living requires? More than anything, what successful living requires? Ashrei ish, you want to live an ashrei life? You have to be roeh es hanolad. You have to see what's coming down the pike. And this is the most difficult part of living. A person has to be able to anticipate what is going to occur. If I go down this road, if I make this decision, what is going to occur? And the truth is, I think that 8 out of 10 times in life, you could predict what's going to occur when you take a particular course of action. I know that if I walk down this road, I know what's going to happen. There is the 20%, and maybe it's 30% of the time, where you totally cannot predict. Something happens in life that just throws you for such a loop that you could have never have anticipated this. But more often than not, and like Daramel says, you could be roeh es hanolad. You could actively see what it is that is going to occur. You just have to give it some thought. So before you begin your halicha, before you're a holich, before you go ahead and you begin to go down any path in life, ask yourself, is this a path you want to end up sitting on? Is this a path you want to end up embedding yourself in? Is this the right path for you? Because Elamel says life follows a very simple progression. Holech, Omed, Yoshev. That's the progression of life. Holech, you begin down a certain path. Omed, you begin to spend a little bit of time in that path, and then Yoshev. You make yourself comfortable in that path. Now again, that works both ways. If you choose the right path of life, incredible. Incredible. You did the halicha, I walked down the right path. Omid, I spend some time in this path, and then, yes, Yoshev. I want to embed myself. I'm going to sit. I'm making myself immobile, so to speak, in this path. But David HaMelech says, Chas v'Shalom, if I choose the wrong path, if I choose the wrong path, then ultimately, again, what does that lead to? So it's interesting. There's a progression here as well. There's Rishaim, Chataim, Leitzim. So before I get to that, so David HaMelech is teaching us something amazing. Before you make a decision in life, and before you embark down a particular path, and by the way, you know, sometimes we think about, you know, embarking on a particular path sounds so grand. Every time you make a decision in life, you embark down a path in life. Something as simple as you're going to choose what you're going to eat for lunch. You are embarking down a path. And by the way, that path has consequences as well, right? If lunch has too many carbs or there's too much trans fat or whatever else, that's a decision as well. You make that decision and you have to make sure. And again, a person says, I can't believe I ate that. You know, we all say this. I can't believe I ate that. Almost as if someone was like standing there, like shoving food down my throat, I can't believe I ate it. I don't know. It was pretty believable as I was putting stuff into my mouth for the last hour and a half. That was pretty believable. I had no problem believing that I could take the fork to my mouth. That I had total emunah in. But somehow after the fact, I'm like, I can't believe it happened. Almost as if I'm like a victim of circumstance. The food flew into me. Amish, I can't believe it against my will. Ruach Sa'ara, a whirlwind from the Ribono Shel Olam came and it just blew the cake into my mouth. So it's the same thing in life. I'm saying this obviously in a bit joking way, but so many times in life, we find ourselves in circumstances like, I can't believe this happened. Really? You can't believe it? Well, let's ask a question. How did I get here? How did I get here? The Ribono Shel Olam didn't just pick me up and put me here. How did I get here? Now, sometimes in life, of course, there are circumstances which are foisted upon us. Circumstances that we do not choose. We're not talking about that right now. Talking about the fact that sometimes we end up in a place in life and I'm really unhappy where I am. And it's easy to say I'm a victim of circumstance. But more often than not, David HaMelech says, I am where I am because of the decisions I have made. And because a lot of times I make small decisions thinking that they're inconsequential and not realizing that the path I choose to walk on very often can become the path I choose to sit in. So therefore, again, David HaMelech tells us, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Because the progression between walking, standing, sitting sometimes occurs just like that. Sometimes occurs in the bat of an eye. So a person says, David HaMelech, you have to be careful. Because if you realize that a path is not good, don't even walk down it. If a decision is not right, don't even dabble in it. Don't even put your big toe in it, right? Nothing. If something is not right for you in life, avoid it. Because sometimes people know consciously, I know this is not good for me, but I'm just going to walk on it a little bit. I'm just going to holich it a little bit. Well, if you holich it a little bit, then what happens? You're going to be omid. You're going to stand. And when you stand, what's going to happen? You're going to sit. And once you sit, it's very difficult to get back up. You know, once you're settled in that beautiful recliner of negativity, it's very hard to get yourself back up. Not impossible. Change is always possible, but it's difficult. You know, if you're walking and you're standing, or you're standing and you're walking, it's easy to change course. But once you go ahead and you sit, it's exceptionally difficult. It's interesting to note as well that David HaMelech in his progression has it Rishoim, Chatoim, and Leitzim. It's not our topic for now, but almost as if David HaMelech, in David HaMelech's view, and you see this in Chazal as well, the worst trait a person could have is to be a letz, is to be someone who mocks things. To be a sinner, all right, we all sin. Some of us sin a lot, some of us sin a little, some of us sin well, some of us are habitual sinners, recreational sinners, but we all sin. But to be someone who scoffs, to be someone who mocks, to be someone who's a letz, nothing is serious, if nothing is serious, that is a death knell. That's a death knell for dynamic life activity. If I sin, I could turn myself around. But if everything is scoffed at, everything is mocked, nothing is serious, David HaMelech says, you could change, but it's difficult. So here, what we begin to see from this Gemara is, I think, an incredibly dramatic lesson. This idea that in life, if you want to be successful, you have to be Ro'ah Es Hanola. You know, sometimes we don't think ahead. We just don't think ahead. You know, it's interesting. I think one of the things that was quite fascinating in the beginning of the pandemic was, you know, people thinking about like what they needed for their homes. You know, we were going to be in lockdown for, no one knew what was going to be. So it was fascinating. So people had to anticipate, what am I going to need for the next number of weeks? You know, so it's incredible. We're able to do that with toilet paper, with tuna, with cleaning products. We could do it with, you know, with chicken, with meat, with fish, with produce. I can anticipate what I need to run my home, like on a physical material level. But sometimes we have such a difficulty doing it when it comes to our soul, when it comes to our neshama, when it comes to our identity and persona. What do I need? What do I need? What's the right path for me? And what's the wrong path? And if it's the wrong path, don't even walk on it. Don't stand on it. Because if you do, I'm going to end up sitting in it. And once I end up sitting in it, it's so difficult to get back up, to recalibrate, and to try again. But I want to show you something amazing. If you take a look at number four, this is from the Sefer Ksones Pasim. So this is from Rav Yaakov Yosef HaKohen Katz. He was one of the primary Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So what intrigued me is this idea that David HaMelech, remember again, focuses on three different things. Atzas Rishoyim. So let's just go through. So now we understand so far our two lessons so far. Lesson number one is Ashrei. If you want to live an Ashrei life, first step is fix that which is broken, and then you could go on to do good, positive, dynamic things. Lesson number two, be Ro'as Hanolod. You have to look ahead. You have to look ahead. Don't live life by the seat of your pants. Go ahead and make sure to look at, try to plan and think about it. If I make this decision, what is going to occur? If I make this decision, where does that put me on the trajectory of life? And if something is a bad decision, don't just walk on it. I'll just walk on it a little bit. No, because those who walk ultimately stand, and those who stand ultimately sit. And in the bat of an eyelash, what began as in a dabbling of something that I shouldn't do ultimately leaves me embedded in that very negative life direction. But what does David HaMelech mean when he speaks about the first step here? Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the person, Asher Lo Halach Be'atzas Rishoyim, who did not follow the counsel of the wicked. What does that refer to? What's the counsel of the wicked? So the Ksonas Pasman number four says something so beautiful. He says, Va'ov de kasalti umakum acher bi'urei be'or ashriya ish asher lo alach ba'atzas rishoyim ki kolev nichnas b'sakana b'bechina haniska la'el shelo haya ba'atzas meraglin. So the Ksonas Pasman says something absolutely amazing. What's an example of this? Who are we referring to when we say an individual who did not walk in the counsel of, in the counsel of the wicked? What does that refer to? What does that refer to? Not walking in the counsel of the wicked. A lot of devices going on over here. Excuse me. What does it mean not walking in the counsel of the wicked? So the Ksonas Pasim says it refers to Kalev ben Yefuna. That Kalev did not follow the counsel of the spies. So it's a story that we are all familiar with. If you take a look at number five on your sheet, Moshe Rabbeinu dispatches the spies to go and engage in a good and positive reconnaissance mission of Klal Yisrael. To teach the people, how could we enter into the land? How could we conquer the land? What do we do in order to be successful? So the spies come back. And what do the spies say? This is in number five. The spies go ahead and they say, yes, it's an Eretz Zevas Chalav U'Dvash. It is true. It is true that ultimately, again, the land flows with milk and honey. But Efes, I'm in number 5, Pasuk Chavches, verse 28. Efes, ki asa amayoshe ba'aretz, the nation is very strong. They're giants. Amalek is there. The Chiti is there. The Yevusi is there. The Canaan is there. And therefore, we cannot go ahead and conquer the land. This was the disastrous report of the spies. What does Kalev say? Number 6. Kalev says, Vayas, Kalev esa'am el Moshe. Kalev goes and he quiets everyone. Vayomer alo na'ale v'yarashnu osa ki achol nuchala. In number 6, Kalev says, don't pay attention to them. We can do it. Vayomer alo na'ale, let's go up. V'yarashnu osa, we will take possession of the land. Ki achol nuchala. For we can overcome whatever is waiting for us. So I just want to point out what's happening over here. So the Ksonas HaPasim says, when David HaMelech says, praiseworthy is the person who did not follow in the counsel of the wicked. So who is that referring to? The Ksonas Pasim says that's referring to Kalev. Kalev did not follow in the counsel of the spies. The spies told the Jewish people, we cannot do it. Kalev said, yes, we can. Alo na'ale, let's go up. Ki yarashnu osa, let's inherit the land. Ki achol nuchal la. We have the ability to do this. We can make this happen. V'Rebbe Piazhetzna, Rav Klonimus Kama Shapira, Zichr Tzadeh V'Kadosh L'Brach Hashem Yikom Damo, whose Yartzeit actually is this week, his Yartzeit is Hei Cheshvan. So the Rebbe writes in Eish Kodesh Parsha Shlach, in number 7, he asks a very simple question. He says, I don't understand what Kalev is saying. Doesn't make sense. The spies, are putting forward legitimate intellectual arguments, right? The spies are saying, listen, we can't do this. And by the way, the spies don't just say we can't do this. The spies explain why. They live in fortified cities. The people are strong. They're like giants. Amalek, the Chiti, the Yevusi, they're there. We can't, there's no way for us to do this. And what does Kalev respond? Kalev responds, yes, we can. Alo na'ale, let's go up. Let's take possession of the land. Why? Ki achol nuchala. We can do it. So Kalev gives a we can do it speech. Kalev gives a ra-ra inspirational speech. Says the Piazhetzna, Kalev's response doesn't make any sense. If you're going to counter the arguments of the spies, so then counter with some type of logical argument. The spies told the people why we can't conquer the land. So Kalev, if you want to go ahead and advance a counter-argument, then advance a counter-argument. Explain why we can. Well, there's a breach in the walls over here. The vulnerability of the people are over here. We'll distract Amalek, Yevusi, Chiti. Give a strategy. But instead, what does Kalev do? We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. So ask the Piazhetzna, Kalev, what kind of answer is that? And the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe says, "Aval kach tzricha lihios emunas ish ha'Yisraeli lo bilvad b'sha'a sheroa mevov v'derach lishiyoso gam apisich." I'm just going to read a few lines and I'll translate. "V'derach ha'teva yamin b'Hashem shiyoshio v'yischazek rak gam b'sha'a she'ino roe chas v'chalila shum mevov apisecha v'derach ha'teva lishiyoso yamin b'Hashem shiyoshiuhu." Says the Piazhetzna something amazing. The Rebbe writes, sometimes in life, you just have to believe you can, even if you don't know how you're going to do it. So Kalev says, Miraglim, you're right. At the end of the day, and actually the Rebbe says, Kalev says, you know what, Miraglim? I don't have a logical argument to counter you with. I don't have a strategy to advance. I don't have an idea as to how we can go ahead and defeat the strong indigenous nations. But all I can tell you is, we have to do it. All I can tell you is that the job must get done. And all I can tell you is, we can do it. So says the Piazhetzna. Kalev was teaching us that sometimes even when you don't know how you're going to do something, but if in your heart you believe that it has to get done, you must get it done. Let's go up. Let's take possession, for we can do it. Becomes the battle cry for the Jew, not just for the Jews entering into Eretz Yisrael, but it becomes the battle cry for the Jew throughout the ages, who faced insurmountable odds, overwhelming circumstances, but said to himself or herself, I gotta do it. I don't know how, but all I know is I have to get the job done. We have to go into Eretz Yisrael. We must conquer the land. We must take possession of our ancestral homeland. How we're going to do it, I don't know. I really don't know. All I can tell you is we have to do it. So listen to this. So, and by the way, just as not our topic for today, but you can imagine who the Piagetzna is talking to. The Piagetzna is talking to the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto. This was a drasha he gave on Parsha Shlach in 1939. The beginning of the nightmare. And he says, I have no logic to tell you. I have no strategies to share with you. I have no coherent ideas. The only thing I can tell you is, Alo na'ale v'yarashnu osak yachol nuchala. And by the way, do you understand how correct the Piagetzna was? How do you know the Piagetzna was correct? Because we're sitting here. We're sitting here, decades later, learning the Piagetzna's Torah, right? The Jewish people should have been over after the Holocaust. The Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichram, logically should have been successful in their campaign to eradicate our people, yet they weren't. Why? Because we lived by this mantra of Caliph. Because we lived by these words of the Piagetzna. Ki achol nuchala. Sometimes you just got to do it. We'll survive. We'll thrive, we'll rebuild, we'll do whatever we have to do. It's impossible, it's illogical. We are an illogical people on many levels. We are an illogical people. We are a people of destiny. When you are people of destiny, sometimes you just have to decide what has to get done, and then you just have to do it. So perhaps what the Ksonas HaPasim was saying is false. Remember, so the Ksonas HaPasim says, who is David HaMelech referring to? Or what was he referring to when he says, Ashriya Ish, praiseworthy is the person, Asher lo halach ba'atzas v'sham, who didn't follow the ways of the wicked. What's the ways of the wicked? It was talking about Caliph who didn't listen to the Meraglim. Oh, and we have a definition. What's the definition of atzas v'sham? What is the counsel of the wicked? The counsel of the wicked is the voice in your head that tells you, you can't do it. That's the counsel of the wicked. It's that little voice. And you know, for some of us, it's just a faint voice. It's a called the mamadaka. It's a very faint voice in the back of my head, in the back of my soul, that tells me I can't do it. And for some of us, it's a voice that yells in our head each and every moment of each and every day that tries to convince us you can't do it. Whatever the it is, you can't be better, you can't be holier, you can't be different, you can't become the person you yearn to be. You can't. That's the atzas reshaim. That is the counsel of the wicked. The counsel of the wicked is the voice of the meraglim. The counsel of the wicked is the voice of the Yetzahara. The counsel of the wicked, the atzas reshaim, is that inner self-sabotaging voice that tries to convince you that you can't do the things you want to do in life, that you can't accomplish the things you yearn and pine to accomplish, that you can't become the person you want to be. So David HaMelech says something amazing. Ashriya Ish, praiseworthy is the person who does not listen to that voice. Praiseworthy is the person, Asher lo halach ba'atzas rishoyim, who did not even walk down the path. What does that mean? Praiseworthy is the person who doesn't even give that voice airtime. Who immediately, when you hear that voice begin to ring in your ears and ring in your heart, you use the words of Caliph. No. I can. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. I don't know what. But I can. Ashriya Ish, praiseworthy is the person who doesn't even walk down the path of that voice that says, I can't. Because David HaMelech says, do you know what happens if you walk down that path? If you choose to be a holich, if you choose to walk down the path of atzas rishon, you choose to walk down the path of the voice that tells you, you can't do it, the voice of the meraglim, the voice of the Yetzihara, then what happens? Omeid, you come to stand in that path. Do you know why something interesting happens? It's easy to get comfortable on the path of the Meraglim. It's easy to get comfortable on the path of the Atzas Rishayim, the path that says, I can't. Why is it easier to get comfortable on that path? Very simple. If you actually believe that you can't, life is so easy. Fantastic. I can't. I really should go ahead and do this. I can't. I really should improve this. I can't. I really should fix this. I can't. I really should learn this. I can't. I really should have this objective, this dream, this goal. I can't. Well, if I can, it's just like, again, the truth is I don't have inner anxiety over the fact that I can't, that I'm not an all-star basketball player. It doesn't give me inner anxiety. Why does it give me? Because I can't. I can't for a variety of reasons. I can't. That doesn't. So what's incredible is I can't is an incredible word that soothes the turbulent soul. Because the moment you see you can't. So the Haranal says, I beg of you, don't even walk down that path. Because if you walk down that path, you will stand there because it gets comfortable. And you'll get so comfortable that what? Moshav leitzim lo yashav. You'll sit there also. And once you begin to sit on the path of I can't, that unfortunately, again, is a terrible place to be in life. Because once you sit, now, mamish, I'm comfortable. I have the recliner on the path of I can. Not just the recliner, by the way. It's a beautiful one. The feet come out. There's a cup holder. It has a massage function. And I say to myself, Givaldik, I'm never leaving here. The path of I can't is the most comfortable path in life. Because all you need to do is sit there and atrophy. Sit there and waste away. That's all. It's easy. It's beautiful. Hopefully you even have the remote in your hand, right? Nothing to do. Just watch life pass you by. And you could watch life pass you by with no guilt. Why no guilt? Two words. I can't. And the moment you convince yourself that you can't, is the moment, I have no guilt for, I would, of course, I'd love to accomplish, I'd love to do, I'd love to be, I'd love to, I can't. What do you do in life? I can't. Who are you? Why can't. What's your name? I can't. Atzas Rishoim becomes the totality of my identity. And David HaMelech begs us, Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the person, Asher Lo Halach, don't even walk down that path. Don't listen to that voice. If you hear that voice begin to summon itself up in your ears, you hear it ringing in your heart, you hear it ringing in your ears, you have to close your eyes and memorize the pasuk of Kalev. Memorize this pasuk. Alo na'ale v'yarashnu osa ki'achol nuchal la. Yes, I can. How? Come on. No, you can't. How are you going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it. But all I know is I will not walk down the path of I can't. Because the moment I walk down that path, I set myself up to stand on that path. And the moment I stand on that path, I set myself up ultimately to sit in that path. And the moment I sit in that path is the moment that I begin to atrophy, waste away, and see my potential just simply begin to evaporate. That's the lesson that David HaMelech gives us in this opening kapitel of Tehillim. So in this just one phrase, two psukim, David HaMelech teaches us the goal is to lead an ashrei life, a praiseworthy life. And a praiseworthy life, step one, requires me, number one, to fix that which is broken, to find the courage to fix that which is broken. Even before I go ahead and engage in positive dynamic activity. Lesson number two, I have to be roa es hanolad. Before I make my decisions in life, I have to really think them through. And see, like, where is this going to take me? What is this going to do? How is this going to end up? What's the result? What's the end point? What's the finish line of this particular path? And so before I go ahead and do anything, I have to try to think it through to the best of my ability. And lesson number three, it says, David HaMelech, avoid the Atzas Rishoim at all costs. The Atzas Rishoim is the Meraglim. The Atzas Rishoim is the Yitzhara, that voice that says, I can't. Drown it out. And don't even walk down that path. Because if you walk there, you'll stand there. If you stand there, you'll sit there. And if you sit there, you are embedded there. There are many things that are difficult. There are very few things that are of true meaning that we can't accomplish. And David HaMelech tells us that an Ashrei life is a life where you find the courage that if you begin to hear the Meraglim speaking in your ear, giving you a million reasons why you can't accomplish the things you want to accomplish, find the courage to stamp it out. Find the courage to ignore it. But perhaps more importantly, find the courage to yell back at it. Alo na'ale v'yarashnu osa ki achol nuchal la. We'll stop over here for today. It's an incredible schus to be back with all of you in Mirtz Hashem, and look forward to our limud over the rest of this semester. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Rabbi Silver. We'll see you next week.
Mirtz Hashem.